No matter where you are, it's Texas Standard Time on this 22nd day of April 2021. I'm David Brown. Hope your Thursday is going well. In an event that only happens only every other year in Texas, one that affects in one way or another virtually every Texan, the sound of the countdown clock is getting louder. From voting laws to policing and criminal justice reform, the future of Medicaid in Texas, abortion laws, gun laws, and a panoply of other issues, including steps to prevent future power outages like the one in February. The Texas legislature is far from finished with its work, and there are just 6 weeks left in its 140-day session. Now, there's nothing especially new about this biennial sprint to the finish line, save one not-so-insignificant variable, the ongoing pandemic, which exacerbates the challenges of doing legislative business. But add on top of that the one thing that absolutely must get done according to Texas law that has not yet been done, completing a budget made even more difficult by a COVID-caused drop in state revenue. So, where do we stand? Joining us for that, Cassie Pollock. She is state politics reporter for the Texas Tribune. Cassie, welcome.
Hey there. Thank you so much.
And Andrea Zielinski joins us. She is politics reporter for Texas Monthly. Good to have you, Andrea.
Hey there. Glad to be here.
Let's begin with what's happening right now under what they call the Pink Dome. This is budget season, and what is happening with the budget? Let's begin with you, Andrea. How is this unfolding?
So today is big budget discussion in the House. Now, the Senate has already passed the budget. Now it's the House's turn to take a whack at, you know, essentially putting together what their priorities are. A budget is a political document, not just one of numbers and accounting. So we're going to get a first taste today of what the House thinks is important. And then once the budget is passed, then the Senate and the House will begin hashing out what the differences are.
Andrew, you make it sound so easy. But obviously, this is a very difficult project because, of course, this is essentially a political document. Cassie, what do you see as holding up this budget if there is to be any impasse?
Right. So House members ahead of today's debate have filed roughly 240 amendments or proposed tweaks to this spending plan that lawmakers in the chamber have put together. To say that lawmakers will be on the floor for a while today is an understatement. I'm watching for controversial votes on issues like Medicaid expansion and border security. Another point of contention I'm expecting is that there will be quite a bit of debate on what should be done with tens of billions of dollars in federal funding for coronavirus relief.
This doesn't even begin to address some of what Governor Greg Abbott's legislative priorities were, right? Let's begin with something that the governor described as election security. Others describe it as obstacles to voting. Andrea, where are we with that?
Well, the Senate has passed an elections integrity bill that a lot of people find pretty onerous. First of all, it would kind of clamp down on hours that polls can be open. It would further dictate where polls can be, which some Republican county leaders tell me, hey, that would even tie their hands. Now, Republicans feel a need to pass election security because a lot of Republicans unfoundedly have thought that the election had been stolen. But here in Texas, we didn't see any election fraud. So we're seeing these opportunities to try to tweak the laws. The House has its own bill that is still working its way through the process, and that should be on the House floor in a couple weeks. And there are some significant differences between the two, so we're also going to see both chambers kind of hash that out and maybe butt heads over what that law will eventually look like.
Cassie, shifting gears somewhat, a lot of people are clearly on their minds police reform, criminal justice reform. What's being done in the Texas legislature? And I know that there was an act that was moving through at one point the Texas House that bore George Floyd's name, correct?
Right. State Representative Sinfronia Thompson, the longest serving woman in the Texas legislature, is carrying the George Floyd Act. Still making its way through the legislative process, is not really reached the point yet where House members are anticipating having to debate that piece of legislation on the floor of the Texas House anytime soon, which has received some criticism. And beyond that, you know, on the Republican side, you've seen a number of bills filed at trying to prevent or penalize local governments should they try to, quote, defund, unquote, the police. You know, you've also seen a number of measures. Greg Abbott was actually at a news conference here in Austin earlier this week, supporting a local proposition on the Austin ballot for one of the homelessness ordinances. And so you've also seen some legislation kind of filed by Republicans aimed at that as well.
One other closely watched effort in the Texas legislature this session has been to institute changes to abortion laws, many commentators saying perhaps to take advantage of changes at the U.S. Supreme Court. Can either of you tell us where we are with those proposals, the many proposals that are out there?
I can. This is Andrea. So the Senate has already passed a number of sweeping abortion bills, including bills that would ban late-term abortions out of abnormality. So if someone is pregnant and there's a problem with the fetus, then under this bill, you would still have to carry that your pregnancy to term. So there's that. There's also kind of trigger legislation looking forward to the possibility that the Supreme Court might overturn Roe v. Wade or chip away at it over time. The legislature has a bill that would trigger for abortion to be illegal here once that happens. In the House, there's legislation also moving through that is now on its way over to the House floor. And within that, there's this idea that not only do they want to automatically make abortion illegal should Roe v. Wade be overturned, but also looking to make it illegal by 2025 to try to speed things up, which all these abortion bills would likely immediately go into the legal system and be challenged because they all are definitely pushing the envelope with established law on abortion.
You know, you begin this session sort of like a funnel, right? There are so many proposals that have to make their way through a fairly narrow passage ultimately to become state law. And I think about amid all of this, we have issues like expanding broadband internet access. We have issues related to other issues related to education as well. And yet, one of the big issues going into this session was what to do about power and electric failures, notably considering what happened during that winter storm in mid-February. Cassie, where are we with that?
Right. So you have both chambers have already passed a number of measures kind of taking aim at reforming the state's electrical grid, reforming the boards that operate that grid, passing legislation that would require, you know, folks in the energy industry and to, you know, weatherize or winterize the equipment. It's also an emergency item from the governor. Which that basically means that whatever legislation makes his desk by the end of the session, you know, it's either he's going to determine whether those proposals meet his emergency item criteria.
Yeah, I just want to point out that to add to what Cassie was saying, you know, one of the big questions that I think a lot of people have on their minds is if there's another storm or if, you know, we have a lot of heat this summer, you know, are we going to be struggling with the grid again? Weeks after the February storm, ERCOT, which is the board that oversees our grid and the market, had already asked, hey, we need people to conserve because, you know, a couple facilities are offline for maintenance. And it was like a very calm spring day. So those are still issues that are very much important. And there are criticisms that in terms of weatherizing, that there hasn't been as much focus on natural gas and their facilities and requiring them to truly weatherize. So that's going to be an ongoing issue throughout the session that some people aren't quite satisfied with.
Of course, this could have been all further complicated by redistricting, but the numbers that the legislature would normally have gotten from the census in time to do its work, those won't be arriving until sometime, I believe, late September, end of September. So that business has been put on hold, as I understand it. Yet with so many other things on the agenda, in the few seconds we have left, what's your prognosis when it comes to this legislative session going into overtime? Cassie?
Right. I think that a special session, at least one, is, you know, when you talk to lawmakers or lobbyists at the Capitol, the line that you hear most often is that everybody will be back at the Capitol sometime in October, maybe November, to undergo the redistricting process that you referenced.
Andrea, how do you see things playing out from here?
Well, I think depending on how far the legislature goes with weatherizing, with really making sure that the grid doesn't falter again, I think that's also an opportunity for a special session. Now, whether that gets rolled into the same special session as redistricting, or whether there's anything, maybe some red meat issues that the governor wants addressed, I don't think that special session is going to be just about redistricting. I think they'll find something else to add in there.
Andrea Zielinski is politics reporter for Texas Monthly. Cassie Pollock is state politics reporter for the Texas Tribune. We'll link to their latest reporting on the goings-on at the Capitol building over at texasstandard.org. Cassie, Andrea, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.